Good afternoon, everybody. I hope everyone has had a nice lunch. We'll just get started with the first afternoon talk. And me, my name, Rafael, and myself will be talking about a project we've been working on. The title of this presentation is Building an Autonomic Cloud. It may be... We're going to give you some ideas and concepts that we're applying to our project to build.
I can help with that. Like, it's to build a cloud basically that optimizes itself. So we are going to show the problem. You probably will relate to the problem that we are discussing here, because like this problem is widely known in academia. I work with it. That's why we are doing this kind of thing. But it seems that there is a gap between what we do in academia and what we get into the industry sometimes. Yeah, because like if you go to a conference and try to publish a paper regarding this topic nowadays, they say, hey, we already solved this, please, come on, don't come here. While in the industry, we see these solutions, these cloud computing orchestration solutions nowadays, and they still don't have these optimization techniques. Like you have the distributed resource scheduling from VMware, which works, but like the other orchestrators, they don't have it built in yet. So that's what we are doing, and that's what we are going to talk about today. And I tend to speak pretty fast sometimes, so if it gets hard to understand, just like raise a hand and ask me to repeat and to slow down a little bit. And
also, don't feel free to ask questions at any time.
Yeah. So basically, we are three guys working under the same topic for over like 2 years, 3.5, 3 years.
Going on 3 years now?
Yeah, like some of us, we are all computer scientists. Some of us, like Lucas is an undergrad, Gabriel is a master's student, and I'm a PhD candidate. And we all contribute to CloudStack as much as we can.
On our free time.
Yes, on our free time, and that's who we are basically. We are not like technicians, we are more like researchers. So
this is more or less what you can expect to see in our presentation today. So first, we're going to give a bit of an overview of the problem we see in current cloud environments and how it sort of lacks optimization of usage of physical resources from our point of view. And then we're going to look at a design we came up with which can help with that problem and does solve it, but only to an extent. And we're going to look at the issues and the problems we had trying to get it to work in a production environment. We're going to go over the benefits of adopting such a technology and how cloud providers and any business that might be running their own cloud infrastructure might benefit from this. And last but not least, by any means, we're going to take a look ahead in our roadmap to see where we're going really with our design and how we are going to implement these ideas. So on current cloud environments and how we see the problem. Something we see quite often is, imagine having many VMs in a single host. Like imagine a resource competition scenario almost. And sometimes, even though there's resource competition in some places in your environment, there might be some hosts that are idle or that just are at a very low CPU or RAM load. And you know, why is that? Why can't we use that infrastructure to its full potential? So we have some ideas on how to make this problem, on how to solve this problem.
I think I can complement here. Like bottom line, cloud computing orchestrators, they are very complex and vast piece of software. They are basically orchestrating storage systems, networking systems, and virtualization systems, which is like a very advanced job nowadays. But they don't do the optimization of the physical resource. So what does that mean? Like even though they have like the allocation algorithms that will pick the best place to allocate a virtual machine at the deployment time, because cloud computers are vast and dynamic, so even though if at the deployment time there was a host that was the most suitable one to host a virtual machine, users are deploying and removing virtual machines all the time, the configuration will change.
The state of the environments change.
Yeah, dynamically.
Time.
So in the cloud orchestrator, even though it's the allocation moment, that was the best host it can change. But the orchestration nowadays, they are not designed to move virtual machines around in order to optimize it. And this optimization can focus on two different tasks. You can focus to consolidate resources and shut down idle servers, or you can balance resources. So basically, probably if you all run cloud environments, and if you create a picture like this of your environments, you might end up with like idle hosts, or hosts with a lot of load, and hosts with low load usage, just because of that dynamism that you can find in cloud environments nowadays. So, but that's a problem. We don't want that. And we also don't want to rely only on the VMware distributed resource scheduling, because you are tied to a single ecosystem. Like in CloudStack, if you apply this in an orchestrator like CloudStack or OpenStack or OpenAbula, you could be using this distribution or consolidation of resources in multiple hypervisors. And that's the idea. So we don't want this picture. We want either this one here, where the administrator says to an agent, hey, I want to consolidate resources as much as possible. Please do whatever you have to do that.
So the agent can really consolidate VMs. They make the most out of a physical host, allocate as many VMs to it as possible, granted with a certain safety margin in case demand increases rapidly. And do this for all the clusters in the environment, and then once the migrations are completed, the hosts that remain idle can be shut down again, given a certain safety margin so that we don't have quality of service issues and spikes in demand.
But most people won't even care about consolidation, right? That's what we heard from the feedback of the community. So basically, most people want something like that, that is constantly balancing the workload of the environment, the virtual machine workload of the environment, right?
So, yeah, that's our other option to better utilize all the available resources. Take all VMs and try to spread them out on physical hosts as best we can, as spread out as possible.
Yes, this is an optimization problem, which is quite well known in academia. Like, you work with that since cluster computing, and now with cloud computing, everybody knows how to do that, but still, CloudStack, OpenStack, OpenAbula, they don't do this out of the box. There is nothing that will do that. Some people try to optimize it, try to do this, creating scripts, which is an automatic process. So the administrator writes down a script to sensor the environment and try to do some computation, try to move virtual machines around and try to balance the environment. But we don't want that. I want something that learns the state of the environment, learns what it can do with in the environment, what kind of actions it can execute in order to fulfill a goal. And
especially so that you don't have to expect all sorts of different problems, since with an automatic approach, you probably, it's a lot, as Rafael said, a lot of scripting is a very programmatic thing. So you sort of have to anticipate possible problems and try to work around them before they actually happen. While an autonomic solution like the one we propose can dynamically look at the state of the environment, get a clear picture, and then take decisions on what is the best.
Based on the management model that the agent is using, actually.
Yes, based on the chosen management
model. So basically, whenever you finish building an agent, which we already did, you basically just have to build the management model, and that's our research in academia. So how to develop these management models. We're going to show how one of them looks like, at least a piece of them, not everything. So basically the idea of the agent.
So basically the first design we came up with, we had this one type of agent, which we can instance many of, to get the information from each cluster and decide within that cluster the best possible migrations to make, or the host that could be shut down, or the one that should be powered on in case there's more demand. And we conducted some experiments.
Yeah, but before that, like, the agents, you can instantiate as many as possible. They can work at the same time in different clusters in the environment, so you can distribute the management load, right, for the optimization of the environment. And this is all done by a single agent, a single type of agent.
And so when is some software like this going to be made available, or going to be possible?
For a cloud computer orchestrator, right. So yeah. Actually we did. This is our first design, as Luca said. It's open source, so if any of you want to use it and deploy in your cloud stack environment, it really works. Actually, I received an email like 1 month ago, like someone got it and started using it, and they were surprised because it works. I was surprised as well because like I tested in my environment, but nobody was using, so I was doubting, you know, if it really would work outside of my lab environment. But yes, it works, which is interesting. because like we're not paid to do that, so, and it works. And so how does that agent work?
This is the
basic flow
of execution within that agent. Basically, just to give an overview, it'll read the cluster, try to get all the information out of it, try to work out the best actions to take given the management model that was chosen, if you want either the consolidation idea or the dispersion idea. And then it'll map the migrations, or it'll rank all the available hosts, give a map of migrations, and then we'll try to execute them all.
Yes. And like these callbacks, rank hosts, create map migration, create the migrations, these are all callbacks this is where you implement your management model. The management model is where you do the decision process, which hosts are better to receive a VM, things like that. So with that type of agent, of course, we are in academia, we had to do some experiments, you know, to see how things perform, what kind of benefits. Sure, shoot.
There's a nice take here, Brown. Are there any points at which it's dangerous to shut down the
host?
The agent?
The agent itself?
Yeah.
No, you can shut down it whenever you want.
So it's not dangerous during any transition?
No. You can kill it. Of course, if you shut down before it executes anything, you will never optimize your environment. But
stop optimizing and I don't care. Wait.
Oh, okay. No, you can shut down. There is no problem. Actually, this is actually one of the idea because the agent itself it's using resources of the environment, you know, to manage it. So actually, when we show why we opened this platform later on, and the new design that we are working on, you understand that we want to do exactly that. We want to instantiate and remove agents on the fly. Types of agents, because actually we have 11 types of agents, not a single one actually. That's why we took it away. This is like a plugin. This is a plugin, it's inside of CloudStack. So if you have like 11 different agents there, it's going to be like a mess. You had a question, someone there?
Sorry, the previous diagram you had there.
The default, yeah.
Sorry, maybe I'm asking questions of slides you're about to bring up. You also have shotgun like host there, so at which point is the decision?
There is other agent, actually. We are just showing the most important one. No, actually, we are not showing this other one here, but because I was trying to be concise and short.
That will say, hang on, I now need another host, a shutdown host to power back on again, and it will say, it then effectively powers back that host.
Yeah, actually, we have another agent that works together with this one, that detects when there is a shortage and then starts.
What does a shortage then mean? Because obviously you have
your management model will explain that. That's the idea. So you can define as stupid as like 10% of resource.
Yeah.
If it reaches a threshold, you start firing up resource. Or you can decide something more clever, like you check how is the variance of resource location and environment, and you predict trends, you know, if they are going up or down. And then
two algorithms there, where you had the spread the load and you had concentrate the load.
Yeah.
Yes. So I guess for
you will use only one of them.
Yeah, so if you have spread the load, then will you still power back your host back on again just to distribute VMs on as many?
Yes, it will turn them on again. If you change the heuristics, it will turn them on again. Actually, in this new platform, I think there is one heuristics, like we provided this, some people want. There is this kind of management model where if the host is down, it won't try to turn them up again. Just because, you know, you might want that kind of feature, but Anyways. So these were the, with this first type of design, we executed, of course, some experiments because, you know, we have to publish in academia. And we need data to publish it, to back our claim, our design, to show that this thing works. So basically, this first experiment was the consolidation one. It was executed in our lab environment. So in our lab environment, we have like this very static workload of 12, 15 virtual machines. But altogether, in this same cloud environment, we have some workloads that are seasonal. Like during vacations, we don't have any students using the cloud environment, but like during the last month of the semester, you know, everybody is using the cloud environment to do. Everybody deploys VMs and they are all trying, you know, to finish their assignments. And we noticed that, hey, everything is turned on here, everything is running, and the hosts don't even have a load. We could shut them down. That's where actually everything started, because we sit in the same room as the servers, and because of the noise, we wanted to shut them down. That's why we created this thing here, because I was bothered with the noise, and then I thought one day during the vacation, hey, there's nobody using that thing there, I could shut it down. I want to shut it down because then I will have to turn them again, so I created something to do that for me, and it does. So this is the environment. So we created some very simple management models that we create this idea of score. We give scores for hosts so we can decide which ones are there to shut down or to activate when we need to activate them. And this is all based on a, we call a profile. So we get all of the virtual machines that are deployed in our environment, and we create a profile of virtual machine that is the type of virtual machines that are more probable to be instantiated or started in our environment. So we know which hosts are better to host those type of virtual machines. So if they are CPU bound or memory bound, for instance. That's why I said depends on the management model you create.
So obviously you can have very dynamic workload. So VMware does have their slot sizes and have some fairly set ways of calculating what a slot size is.
Yeah.
Obviously, in a very dynamic environment, if you have whatever workloads that go up on the peak at every hour and then go down every half hour, for example, then you could have VM 1 minute using, let's say, it's got a maximum of 4 gig, but most of the time it'll actually only use 500 meg, yep. Right? And then for 2 minutes of the hour, it uses 4 gig. So how do you get around that very dynamic workload schedule?
Okay, you are talking about the usage.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, everything that we did here, it's about the allocation itself. Because for the usage part, we need to create prediction models so we can predict for the future how it is going to be. And this agent doesn't do that right now. This type of agent, no. The new design will do, but we haven't finished it. Because when you work with prediction models, just to tell you why we haven't done yet, first, you have to choose the prediction model you want to create, if it's a simple statistical model, or if it's a convolutional network to predict, or if it's a Bayesian network. And this model, you create a model, but it's not like you just create it now, you just use. No, you have to decide when you recreate the model, you have to create some mechanism to test if the model is accurate or not. So that's why it's not that simple. That's why we are not using it yet. We are just, this experiment was based on the allocation, because basically in our environment, the environment we had there, when the user was allocating it, he was or she was, they were using everything that they were allocating. So basically the environment would look like this in a normal vacation day. Like we have some hosts with virtual machines and the other ones, like they were more or less empty. And that's why we built these agents, you know. I wanted the agent to concentrate things and shut things out so the noise would be lower.
During the summer,
yeah, but during the winter it was good.
You like the heat, right?
Because in Brazil, even though we are in the south and even though it's cold, they say that it's a tropical country and we don't need the heating, but like it's 0 degrees everywhere, like outside and inside, and then the heat is good. So normally that's how in a vacation the environment would look like in a vacation period. So these are some of the how we calculate the score. So basically we give a score based on how many virtual machines, based on the residual resource that the host has, it can support for the profile crypto machine that we have. This is a very basic and stupid model that we created just to test. And actually here are just the scoring mechanism. We are not even showing here the, because it's an optimization problem. So you need the objective function because you are trying, it's a combinatorics problem, you know, you are so you have a search space, you are navigating through search possibilities, and then we have still like the constraints, and you have the objective function, which is what we use to value things. But this is, I just showed there so you can graph the feeling what is a management model and how we develop things. So after we develop everything, we code everything, we created the plugin, we put in cloud stack, that's how the environment would look like during the vacations. So now the servers are not making noise anymore.
Nice and silent
mode. Yes, literally, the lab got silent and cool. So then we wanted to check the delay because as you notice, we disable things, so we have to activate them now. So we just generated like some random workload of like 10 virtual machines small and 5 large because our environment is not that big, so we cannot generate a lot of workload just to see how things would work. So basically we fired up those 15 virtual machines and checked what was going to happen and if it was really going to start the new host, because we knew it would need to start at least one of them. So this is interesting because we have two management servers. So basically this is the delay that was caused by the host activation. So as soon as the host was activated, which is this delay here, everything started. Which is it, the host activated? Yes, that is. I don't remember where is the delay. I don't remember now. I can check that later. There is a delay of host activation somewhere else here. I don't know if this is true or
there are one there. I don't know. Because there were other problems in these experiments.
But anyway, so we had the delay of the host activation. I will show in the table, it's easier to see in the graph. Ah, okay. sorry. This graph doesn't show the delay of the host activation. We are just showing how long it takes to deploy all of the 15 virtual machines in the environment without the agent executing the management on it. So this is our baseline, so we can see how things work. Now, yes, now we have the delay. The delay are here, these two guys here. These two virtual machines were waiting for the new host to be activated, which is the host 7 at the cluster HEM MD.
So how about that first big one? What was that way?
That way, what was it? It was a cloud stack problem. We have two management nodes, two management servers. It tried to deploy, like, at the same time we just like have thrown like the 15 virtual machine requests into those two management servers. One of the management servers like thought that a cluster was empty and started deploying the virtual machine there. But it turns out it wasn't empty, the cluster was actually full. There was nowhere else you could fire up a virtual machine there. So it migrated the whole virtual VHD of the virtual machine to another cluster to start the virtual machine there. It would be way faster, you know, just to stop that process and start. Because then it was the file transfer of like 3 gigabytes, which is the size of the boot disk of the virtual machine. That is that big one. And I had to explain that, you know, to be thorough in my experiment. But that's not an agent problem, that's like a synchronization problem between the two management servers of the cloud stack. Yeah, but good question. So basically, just to summarize the data, right? When we have something that is deactivated, if we exclude that thing there, that was an anomaly, it was like 400% slower, you know, to start the virtual machine, which was expected because, I mean, the host was down. So the hypervisor, they have to start to boot up. But like, you can minimize this downtime
if you use like SSD and things like that, or if you like just hibernate the hypervisor, which is way faster than the complete shutdown. But this is an interesting result. So like we could save some energy, but which is interesting of the benefits, we didn't need to rely on system administrator to do these optimization tasks. But of course there are problems, like there is the delay of the host activation. There is that behavior that we found in CloudStack, but I mean, that there wasn't much that we could do at the time. And there is the problem of scalability, because if you we want, and we want to add more agents, every single agent, they would be tied to the CloudStack if they are developed like a plugin, like we did with this first version. And we didn't want that. And here in the community, we also did the same experiment at this time. Not in CloudStack because we don't have a large environment. So we did a simulation with one of Google's data sets, the Google cluster data. So there they have like 1 million of tasks that are grouped in like 150,000 jobs. Each job we consider as a virtual machine. So we simulated the allocation of this virtual machine using a first fit, you know, the first host it finds to allocate the job. And then we ran the algorithm, the dispersion algorithm. We ran the dispersion algorithm with allocating the resources, and then we were measuring the dispersion of the resource in the environment with and without the dispersion agent. So basically this is what we are concerned, because it's an optimization problem, and it is an optimization problem in a dynamic and vast environments like cloud computing. So when we are mapping these migrations, this mapping process has to be fast. Like it has to end up in less than a second. Otherwise, it doesn't make much sense in our opinion. Because if you have a cloud computing environment with 2,000 of servers and 100,000 of virtual machines, this combinatorial problem, it's really a problem. And that's the problem we tackle in the academia. So this is how our algorithm performs. So basically everything will finish up before like 0.04 seconds, which is quite good. We have some very, very, very worst case scenario there, like with 1,000 virtual machines in a cluster with like 16 servers. I don't remember the number, 16 or 32 servers in this simulation, which finished up like at 0.10 seconds, which is still pretty fast. So we were doing this, the management model for the dispersion here was not considering the host tags that can be attached to virtual machines and the affinity constraints, because we prefer to let the system open, so it increases even the difficulty to do the optimization, because if you add constraints, you constrain the problem, so it becomes even easier. So as soon as we have in our roadmap to add to consider affinity and host tags while creating the migrations for our second semester right now. So the times will get even smaller right now. And this is very important because, you know, the clouds normally are very fast. So that's what we are going to tackle. And this data here, it can be replicated, because otherwise I would not call myself a scientist if I didn't publish this data and people could get it and replicate it and get the same results, or similar results at least. So here we have the runtime. The worst case was this last one here, a cluster with 1,000 very big virtual machines. And here there is the explanation why it took so long. Basically, it was almost impossible to find a migrations path there. So it was basically an exhaustive search there. That's why it took so long, because the cluster was saturated. And this is interesting. This is the result. So if you have a cloud environment and you don't use anything to balance the environment, the black line is you. Yeah, of the allocation resource. This is using the management model you are using right now. This is our proposal here. Yeah. This management model that we are presenting here, actually, we didn't want to show this, but like we use a technique that's based on something called cosine similarity, if that makes sense for you guys. So it's basically a technique that we can measure the similarity between things. So we are looking for the best hosts to host the virtual machines based on the similarity of resources. So the resources available for the host with the resources that the virtual machine requests. So this is a little bit different. We have this like this cosine similarity that has been proposed for years now in the academia, and we extended it a little bit. So actually the results that you find here, they are even a little bit better than what you normally find. But we have the comparison between the default and the extended one. It's not just here, but I can show to you if you want to see it later. So this is the balance of the CPU allocation throughout time in this simulation. And this is the balance of memory. Memory is a little bit trickier to balance sometimes, depending on the workload that you have and depending on the kind of virtual machine that it's allocated there. But normally we get way better performance in the environment if we use something like that.
So a few things we noticed while working with this sort of agent model. A few constraints. It's a monolithic ad hoc design. So it's all concentrated in that one or two types of agents that do all of the work, the scoring, the mapping of migrations,
execution,
sending out migration commands. And all of that is all tied down to the ACS, the management server. And it's a bit complicated to develop upon it. For one, it's all Java, right?
Yeah.
It's all Java, and it's a bit tough to expand on it. To work with this sort of thing and to develop on it, we came up with some what we would expect someone, the knowledge background we would expect someone to have to work on this. So some knowledge in artificial intelligence, some concepts of heuristics and agents, systems.
Convolutional networks, the statistical regression models, and so forth. Then you also need discrete optimization, which is the kind of optimization you are executing there.
Somewhat familiar with the CloudStack development process and all the
The Java part of CloudStack, and then the networking, storage, and virtualization systems. That's why we gave up of that plugin, and it's out there now if people want to use it and extend it. But like the stack of knowledge that you are requiring from a single person to work in this kind of system is just crazy. If it's already hard to find someone to work with CloudStack, can you imagine when you add something like that? Yeah. No, it doesn't work. And it's also not a scalable. So what we are...
So we're going to give a quick look over what we plan for the future and how we pretend work, how we intend on taking this.
How we are actually, because some of
this taking this design forward. So this is the design we came up with for the platform. A couple of things already implemented. The seeker agents, which will try to gather the information about the cloud and try to score the host suitable for whatever migrations you may need.
No, actually, we designed the system now. It's an appliance. It's not anymore tied to CloudStack. It runs outside of it in a different runtime. And now we have different types of agents. Each one of these types, they can be multiple instances. And like that, we divided the job. So we have guys that will look for clusters to be processed, because not every single cluster has to be processed every single time. So we have the instance of the something that we call in-cluster management seeker. So the guy that looks for a cluster that might be unbalanced or that might have a...
Doesn't
matter. They will look for clusters that need to be processed. We'll then put it in a queue system. The other guy there will consume this system. Actually, they talk to each other directly. And the agent itself, which is the in-cluster management agent that is up there, is the guy that loads the management model for that specific cluster, and then that starts the management process itself, creating mapping migrations and executing them. And then, as you asked that, that is a resource activator, actually, that we didn't show the flow, but actually it exists. So basically right now we have three agents that have been developed so far, and they are running as well. But like we intend to develop the other ones. Like, and to use to predict what's going to happen, we need that three types of agents there, because we need to predict what's going to happen with the VM, what's going to happen with the host, and then when a shortage of resources is going to happen in the environment. And each one of these guys, we separate in three different agents, because each one of these agents will deal with the problem I was telling you about, like choose a prediction model, deciding when to recreate the model, and then providing this model to the guy that does the management itself, you know. And not just the management in cluster, but we also want to create the management cross cluster. So instead of just optimizing cluster, we create a device, another type of agent that will take care of, like, look for a pair of clusters to be, so these clusters, they can exchange virtual machines.
Because each cluster has its own management model. So if we find clusters that are using the same or that can cooperate.
Or clusters that are unbalanced. For instance, if you have a cluster that has too much of CPU bound workloads, and on another one that has a lot of memory bound workloads, they could swap some virtual machines. That's the idea, actually, that are down, for instance. Then you swap them, so when they are started up, they start up in a better place. So that's the idea. And also an alert manager. This was someone suggested this for us, because, like, as we said, we are developing something that's autonomous. So some people don't like this idea of a software that you don't control, manage in your environment. So the idea is that someone keeps telling people, hey, we are doing that. Hey, we are moving this virtual machine around. Please, then.
So what is your, these are all processes, right? Distributed over your cloud, or probably one per host, or some on the management server and some on the hosts, and etc.
Yeah.
So what's your inter-process communication?
How do I do that?
Yeah.
Message queuing.
Okay.
That's how we do. We use queues, and they have different...
With DAGs for addressing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it works. Sure.
So, is there any design yet for how the predictors need to give input to the managers, right?
This design we are working right now.
Okay.
How they're going, because we have to decide for how long in the future we are going to create the prediction models, because that has to be decided. Otherwise, it doesn't work like that. It's not like magic. Sometimes you hear about artificial intelligence, it works like magic, but no. Like, we have to decide. We are thinking about, like, predict for 5 minutes, 15 minutes, you know. You have to decide how far in the future you want to predict how that workload will behave. And then it can feed the guy that does the management in the cluster to do that. But this hasn't been studied yet. The idea is to finish this process on choosing the prediction model and defining these bits at the end of this year. Then I will have an answer for you at, like, December, probably.
One more.
Sure.
From
sure.
I would expect that storage consumption would have its own predictor. Did you have thoughts on that?
No. I think this is more like you mean like to predict how the business is going, and like to give it some hints, hey, you should buy some more hardware, or to increase the storage, or things like that.
Storage specific. I see a resource.
No, we were focusing on CPU and memory. I've never thought about storage prediction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I got it. Okay. To manage the virtual machines using different data. Okay. I should have shown here. The management model that we got these results, it's generic. It receives an input that is a vector. So basically, right now, this vector has just two entries, which are CPU and memory, for every virtual machine. But it can receive way more. So the function is generic. You just have to enter data so you can manage it. You can decide the management options. So if that's, I think, what you wanted to know, like if I can consider other metrics besides CPU and memory to create the mapping of migrations.
Yeah.
This is generic, yes. It's already contemplated there. We are not just predicting the use of storage, but that could be done as well, I think.
Okay.
network could be thrown in there as well. Things like high frequency trading, for example, where you might want to just distribute load based on the network.
Well, we are trying to develop as much thing as possible that we can. But yeah, everything can be edited. But yes, but yeah, I'm trying to, you know, step by step and building these agents and building the first models, because these are some quite complex things. Like, for instance, to see to get these results and to see that there was a problem in the cosine similarity function that we extended, it was like more than 6 months. Because it was quite tricky to find that problem. So it was not a problem, it was done by design anyways.
But so things sometimes takes a little bit of time, you know, to do this in the research area. That's what this is, the new design we are doing, so that's why we took away it from the call stack. That's why we are moving away, and that's why we are creating this idea as an appliance, you know. So it can scale better. And the idea is that each one of these guys here, they are probably, they can be like virtual machines in the cloud environment itself. And I think Dan asked about like removing an agent or adding an agent. That's actually what I wanted to be in my thesis. You know, I don't want an administrator to say, no, I want consolidation or I want dispersion. No, I want something that decides that as well. And this is the guy I want to develop, but this is like far, far away.
That's the end goal.
Yeah, this is the guy that decides who will die, who will be born here, and what kind of management models they are going to be using. But first I have to build every one of them, and then I can build that one, and then I have to create the management models and so forth.
But yeah, more or less everything can be done, but you know, one step at a time. Please, shoot.
So without this movement of the VMs, what's preventing app disruption?
What do you mean by app disruption?
Let's say if I have an application running on one of these VMs.
Sure.
It seems like you're attacking and rebalancing the CPU and the memory.
Yeah.
What's going to prevent my application from being affected by all that?
Well, the idea, yes, the idea is that these guys would predict that if our application will have a spike in the future, so we can act beforehand. That's the idea. Right now, there is nothing that will prevent that.
Oh, I see. So if I have a VM that's active 24/7,
yeah,
and it's using 80% of my resource,
yeah,
you're not going to touch that one?
I hope not.
Okay.
But like the idea of the predictor for the VM, the host, that's exactly it. Because this VM, it coexists in the same physical host as other VMs. So if your virtual machine uses 8% of CPU and another virtual machine starts to use a lot of CPU as well, this will affect your virtual machine nowadays. There is nothing today that will stop this from happening. And that's the idea of these predictors here. So we can predict when this kind of thing will happen and we can act beforehand. But for that, they have to be constructed and they will fit this guy here. But right now, there is not.
Also, with this short predictor in
this is for this guy here. Yeah.
You could in the end even proactively already start a new host again.
Yeah, if they are now. Yeah, actually,
your load goes up.
These guys, the idea is that these two work together, but from what we heard from the community, people won't shut down hosts ever. Like, they just exist because in the academia, if you talk about balancing, they don't like it. But if you talk about consolidation, saving energy, that's no green cloud and whatever they call, it's nice. That's why it's there actually, but we could do that, like you said. But normally people let the hosts, all of them, even idle running. So we're expecting some
future. Sometimes shutting them down and getting them back up.
It's not worth it, yeah. But yeah, it could be done. Actually, that resource predictor is to do that. But normally we use only in our small scale environments because from what we heard, people don't want actually that.
It's not on the top of their priorities, let's put it like that.
Yeah, of their priorities, but that's how we started actually, right? So basically the roadmap is, it's quite big and we are trying to follow it. So
we don't want to give an idea that the project is dying, it's just that each phase gets progressively more complex.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've highlighted some items that might be in your best interest. So as soon as still in this first semester, we would like to be done with the alert manager, so that we can send emails or Slack messages.
Ah, actually, with everything, but like the most interesting one are the highlighted one. Because the others were already done, right? Yeah. The other ones were already done, basically.
Yeah, most of them were done. Just so we don't go through all of them, I'm just going to go to the ones we think are most interesting to people seeing this. So the Airlock Manager, we want to get some... We want to our platform to be able to generate analytical reports regarding tendencies that we find over time on your path. So there's tendencies regarding RAM usage, CPU usage, and even storage networking. I think we can compound all of that.
Yeah, compile. Yeah, it's okay.
Moving on into the second semester, I think the most interesting feature that we want to have ready by the end of the year is using the similarity metrics Rafael talked about before.
Yes.
Considering tags and affinities and all these features from CloudStack when mapping migrations, so not doing them as, I don't want to say blindly, but taking those into consideration. Moving on to the first semester next year,
that's the predictor thing.
First,
yeah.
First, we want to be able to map the migrations, and then we want to be able to carry them out by the end of the first semester in next year. And by the end of 2018, we want to overhaul our whole user interface. Those of you, those of you who saw the videos we sent out over the lists showcasing, that's the interface we have as it stands. And we want to just make it better. Like, I'm not even going to put it nicely. And this is more of a bit of a stretch, but we would also really like to have done is to generate, those reports I talked about before. Those are very technical about RAM usage, CPU usage, very raw data. We would like to turn that in the future into something more
business oriented,
right? Yeah. Something that can tell, look, it might be time to get some new.
No, like you are growing, your business growing, or it's stuck somehow, things like that. But we don't know how to do that yet. That's like, that is a stretch, that one, that last one. But the other ones, they are more or less in aligned with what we do in academia. That's why it's feasible for us. It's been so far. And I think that's also, if you have any questions, please, you can shoot an email or you can ask them now. I hope I can answer. No questions?
You got them on the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. That's better because it becomes more dynamic, more interesting, I think.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.